Everybody likes to get stuff for free, right?
Yes!
Well, then how would you like 2 months of Podcast One Premium for free just by giving us your email address?
Amazing!
You give us your email address, and we'll give you 2 free months of Podcast One Premium's exclusive content from Adam Carolla, Shaq, Brandy Glanville, Chris Jericho, Steve Austin, and a whole lot more. We won't even ask you for a credit card to make this happen, so your financial future is 100% safe. Well, actually, that's up to you, but at least we won't screw you up. Get 2 free months of Podcast One Premium. Go to PodcastOne.com and click the register button on the homepage.
Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast, and now he is the guy who, unlike Cornbread, lost his dignity a long time ago. I am Rob Sisternino. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to our BBOTT. That stands for Over the Top. That's what we're talking about here as we are beginning week two of the first ever, the inaugural BBOTT. I'm Rob Sisternino, joined by a panel of some of our live feed correspondents here joining us once again. He was with me on Tuesday when we talked to Big Meech. Welcome back, the one and only bread product in all of Big Brother universe. Biscuit is here. Taryn Armstrong.
I won.
You
I'm
made
the best
it.
Bread product.
You did it.
America believes in me, Rob.
Yes. Yes. America did not put you on the block and did not vote you out this week. So good job by you, Taryn.
Thank you. I'm very proud.
Good work. And then, of course, joining us once again, he was on the Wednesday night show. He was very pumped up by Cornbread's exit from the house. Please welcome Alex Kidwell. Alex, how are you?
Doing good, Rob. Yeah, I'm reminded that he was the guy looking at that, graphic behind you. He was, claiming to be over the top funny, and he really wasn't in the house. That
no.
eviction really made up for a lot of the difference.
Yeah, over the top funny was how he was billed, but only ironically so. And Cornbread is now gone from the house. So one person down, 12 to go here on BBOTT. We're going to be hearing from the LFC. Plus, we're also going to be taking your questions here today live on October 7th. Hashtag RHAP. We'll bring your questions into the show as well here on a Friday night of the BBOTT chat. Of course, very excited for our live show coming up here in New York, which is going to be what? 2 weeks from Tuesday, Biscuit?
I think so. I think it'll be 2 weeks.
How about that?
So very excited for that. So that's going to be a very fun show when I'm going to be together with the LFC, with Jordan Parhar, with some of the New York Big Brother players as well. That's coming up. Plus, we have finally a ticket link for you guys if you want to get tickets for that show at the Broadway Comedy Club. Tickets are just $10. There is a 2-drink minimum that you have to get 2 drinks when you're there. But you can go to robinsawebsite.com/BBOTT live. That's going to kick off at 6:30, that show on Tuesday night, the 25th. And then we're going to be doing our live know-it-alls on Wednesday, the 26th. So back-to-back shows in New York City coming up for RHAP on the road. But we are on the road to, I don't know, the end of BBOTT, but we're at the very beginning of that journey. And so let's pick things up when, and Taryn, we haven't gotten to hear from you since Cornbread went out of the house on Wednesday night. Any final thoughts on Cornbread?
Honestly, I kind of felt bad for him at the end. Like, he was just moping around like we had just killed his puppy and he didn't understand why and he just wanted to please us, which was just kind of sad. But, he wasn't adding anything to the game. So
Cornbread for this. Hashtag RIP. All right, Alex, did you get a chance to watch Cornbread sit down with Julie Chen this week?
Yeah, I watched some of it. I must confess, Rob, I wasn't able to get through all of it. I can only stomach maybe like 8 minutes of pure delusion in one sitting.
Yeah, why? What was he the most delusional about, Cornbread?
What wasn't he delusional about? I mean, he just, it's scary. We live in scary times, Rob, where people are just able to like just craft whatever narrative they want. Mm-hmm. And that's okay. And they can believe that. And they can just block anyone who tells them otherwise and just maintain a bubble where that's truth. And great, dude. Enjoy. All right.
Yeah.
More power to you.
Yeah. Cornbread really seemed to feel like that it was a good thing he got out of that house just in the nick of time, Taryn, because everybody else is going to lose their dignity, not Cornbread.
Yeah. You know, that For some reason, that seems to happen to a lot of people after they, you know, leave the Big Brother game or the Survivor game. They always talk about how, you know, at least I maintained my integrity, which is basically just a way of saying, yeah, I lost.
Yeah.
Cornbread, I don't want to admit I'm a loser.
Yeah. Cornbread very upset about the nomination from America. And then in that 9-1 vote, he was really clinging to hope that it was going to be America. That was the one America had an about face. And then very quickly wanted to keep Cornbread in the house. Cornbread felt like that maybe America was trying some complicated strategy to get Jason out of the house because they knew Cornbread would be safe if they put him up on the block. And then that would be some way to actually target Jason, to which Julie Chen did have to explain, I think that America likes Jason Cornbread. I think that America, I think that the problem was you gave Jason the virus and then America did not like that. He's like, oh, I didn't really think about it that way.
Yeah. And then, you know, after he finds out, okay, no, America didn't vote for you. America didn't like you. It was Alex. Oh, Alex really likes me then. Oh, thank God for Alex. Not understanding that Alex just cast a hinky vote to mess with other people.
Yeah,
he felt
like that they really connected and that was going to be the case. Yeah. So, now, Taryn, I know you, I'm assuming you watched the whole thing. Did Julie tell Cornbread about the sister twist? I felt like that reveal was missing.
I don't think she did.
I don't understand why she didn't. I don't know if she understood. Like, Cornbread, did you notice anything in the house that two people seemed identical? Did you know there was a twin source? I mean, didn't we do this in the Big Brother 17 with like people that got evicted from the house and let them know that there were twins in the house?
Yeah, didn't they? I guess it was so boring.
It was so boring that I must have tuned out. I apologize about that.
I was doing other things while I watched because it was like 15
it was
minutes long.
I mean, you're not used to sitting there with Julie Chen on like a 15-minute exit interview.
Yeah.
Okay. Edmo
is
saying
it's Big Jeff and it's like interspliced with clips of the have.
It
like
was
that
all the way. Okay. I didn't make it all the way to the end. So I'm sorry. I'm sorry about that. I apologize, listeners. Okay. All right. Oh, well. So let's pick things up and we get to the start of week two action and we get a HOH competition, which was kind of an endurance challenge that Alex ends up becoming the HOH. Taryn, were you pumped up? You spoke during the week that you love Alex.
Yeah, I do. And
more than
really,
a friend.
Well, thanks, buddy.
Let's not go too far. You know, let's take it slow here. But no, I was rooting for Alex, especially because I feel like America is already sort of not on that side of the house. So they can kind of use all the help that they can get, so they don't just get decimated and that would be really boring to watch. So
yeah. Alex, for those people who are listening to the podcast but are not following the day-to-day on BBOTT, could you explain how the HOH competition worked?
Sure. So it was set up. Everyone was standing on a platform across from a likeness of themselves, and they had to grab like a flimsy kind of rubbery lance and set up a crown on their likeness and then get to the platform and like hold the crown up against the cardboard cutout likeness. Or, you know, I guess it was like, you know, cheap wood, not cardboard. But and so they're using the lance to like hold the thing in place by like one point. And if the lance slips at all, the crown falls down. And it was like the last one standing, holding their crown up wins. So it's really just an endurance and focus. You know, one of these things that if you like let your attention slip for a second, you're out. Unless you're Justin, who was like dancing for like 30, 40 minutes of this competition before it finally, you know, fell apart.
Yeah.
But yeah, went on for like a good 3 hours, came down to Alex and Neely. Alex tried to offer Neely a couple deals, even like a really good deal. Like, I'll let you pick one of the nominees. Neely didn't go for it. And then she ultimately dropped anyway.
Okay. So Alex is the HOH. Taryn, could you set up or at least reset how the alliances stand in the house? I know that we have the Plastics and the Misfits, but even I'm having a hard time keeping track of who's in which alliance.
All right. So basically the Plastics have aligned themselves with Monty and they just started calling themselves Monty and his Pythons, which is just a way to bolster up.
It took 19 seasons in 3 formats, but we finally have an alliance named after a 1960s British comedy troupe.
Finally.
We finally got there.
None of them particularly like Monty necessarily. They're using it to bolster his ego. They're saying he will love this. He'll think that he's in charge, but even though that we're secretly in charge. So it's not quite as bad as it appears at first glance, but that is Monty, Morgan, Alex, Shelby, and Whitney.
Okay, wow. So is it, in fact, is it a women's alliance and they're just using Monty as the front man?
Yeah,
it's the Plastics with like Monty out in front being shoved to his own demise before. Exactly. Like he'll always go off the cliff before we will.
Okay. Yeah. So it's sort of like if the Fatal Five also had Frank in the alliance.
Yeah.
I like that.
Okay, so Monty, Morgan, Alex, Shelby, and Whitney. Okay.
Whitney.
Okay, yeah, that's the five. And then the Misfits consist of what? Everybody else?
Not quite. It's Jason, Chrissy, Neely, Danielle, and Shane.
You got that dirty dog Scott trying to play the middle still.
Yeah.
Double dealing, as it were.
Okay. All right. And where does Justin lie? If Scott is in the middle, where's Justin?
Justin is with the Misfits.
Okay. Yeah, he's Jason's number one right now. Like those two are pretty tight.
Okay. Justin and Jason. That's the thing. All right. So Alex has the power this week. And who are her targets, Taryn?
She wants to take out either Shane or Danielle. She wants to split up the showmans. That is her main goal.
Okay, so it's Shane and Danielle presumably going up on the block. Alex, is the Misfit side of the house, are they aware of what's going to be going on?
They know that they have had enough conversations with Alex to know that it's definitely going to be two of four people, Shane, Danielle, Jason, Justin. Alex is trying not to reveal all her cards because, as we'll get into, a care package was delivered today that allows the recipient to declare another person safe. So Alex doesn't necessarily want to reveal who exactly she wants to push up because she's trying to guide the person who received this care package into saving someone besides the showmans.
Okay, well, let's talk through the care package because we knew care packages were coming and then America got to vote on the first care package. Chrissy wins the care package number one. Alex, are the rules the same with the care packages where there's a set amount of them and then they're also going to increase in how valuable they are? And then once you win a care package, you're off the board for getting another one?
Correct. Yeah, that's how it's going to work. The only stipulation that was added this time, because of the fact that they're going to run for 7 weeks and are really going to be, an essential twist throughout this game, is that, if for whatever reason we get to a point where it's like, say, final six and everyone's already received a care package, or final five, which is theoretically possible, then everyone's back up to be eligible.
Okay. So as the crazy guy in the chat asks, why would anyone vote for Chrissy for a care package? I was not under the assumption that she was a popular player this season. Has the internet contingent that is voting for this show, once we've removed all of the casuals from this, is the BBOTT fan base a highly tuned machine that can just surgically strike with whatever move we want as the internet?
Not quite.
Well, then why Chrissy?
Well, okay. Well, here's what happened. Basically, what's been happening is the first idea that gets out there tends to be the one that people start to just run with. Like there'll be images posted online with like a huge list of reasons why everyone needs to vote this way. That'll get spread around. And I tried valiantly.
So it's like the election.
Yes, exactly. And I tried, and it really,
the
really
world
does
belongs
mirror
to
it.
The GIF makers, Rob.
Yes. They're easy to understand.
I tried really hard to get the care package to Monty because I felt like it would be really fun to give Monty the care package. He can't save himself. He'll think that America loves him, and then he gets put up on the block, and then he gets voted for and potentially evicted, as well as some other strategic reasons, mainly being that you don't want somebody like Monty getting one of the final care packages at the end just because he's the only one left to receive one. But despite the fact that I did my best, I felt like we had some momentum going. There was just nothing that could topple Chrissy. Once the hive mind gets their mindset on one person, it seems
who's the hive mind?
That's just the way it's going to go.
The hive mind is it's what, Twitter?
I think that as the week progresses, we'll start to see more because we'll see which polls tend to be predicting the most accurately. It really has been, wherever I see those images, those whoever's making those images seems to be the trendsetter, because I've never seen one fail.
Somebody send me one of these images. I want to see what they look like. Somebody at reply that to me on Twitter. I'm going to take a look at that to see what these look like.
They look like campaign bumper stickers, kind
of. Yeah, I want to see them. I want to see them. Maybe we should get in the game of trying to influence these decisions. We did it for Opposite Worlds, Alex.
Rahap the vote.
Right. We used to get Steve from Opposite Worlds. Voted in. Beast Mode Frank. Yeah.
Wow. I did not think we'd be talking about Steve DiCarlo on this podcast.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't ask me to name another person from that show. Those are the only two names I remember. But that being said, I know that's interesting. JR. That's good.
Beast Mode Frank. Yes.
Yes. Yeah. We already said Beast Mode Frank.
Damn it.
Okay. So that being said, then, all right. So Chrissy gets the first care package. She's able to save someone off the block, but Alex, she has to do it when? Tonight?
Yeah. I think she has to make the decision tonight, I think. Cause tomorrow's have nots and a safety ceremony and all that. I think so. Taryn, do you know for sure?
I don't think they've told her exactly.
Yeah. I don't know
when.
If I've seen. But it makes sense because they've got things scheduled for tomorrow. I know that they're finding out who the have-nots are tomorrow.
Okay.
They were told that by Julie. Julie came on the TV and told them that.
All right.
And we know the first safety ceremony has to happen tomorrow.
Taryn, so who are the memes saying to make the have-nots?
Those seem to be much more up in the air because it's three different people. There doesn't seem to be like a huge consensus on which exact three. Monty is the only person that's like, obviously Monty is being a have not. Mm-hmm. And then probably Morgan, and then maybe Whitney or Shelby or something.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So we'll see ultimately how that plays out when we head into the safety ceremony. All right. So let's just talk through some odds and ends in the house. All right. So now, how has the house reacted, Taryn, to the apparent popularity of Jason from America? Has that really changed the way people are looking at both the game and Jason?
I think it has. A lot of people have been a lot nicer to Jason ever since he basically won the veto. And, you know, the more America stuff that comes into the game, the more people are like, oh man, that Jason, he's just so great. He was by far the person who received the most amount of like, I trust Jason in the live diary rooms. I think that everyone wants to get on his good side because they don't want to be against America right now. It's definitely shifted things.
Yeah. And so, Alex, can you think of anybody in the house that was like sort of anti-Jason, but has sort of like changed their tune?
Well, to me, the funniest was Cornbread, because Cornbread said in the live DR, like, you know, interestingly enough, one of the person I trust the most in this house now is Jason. Yeah. And it was just so, his was the most transparent, where it's like, dude, anyone could see what you're trying to do here. But yeah, I mean, it was a lot of people like on both sides were saying like, well, I like Jason now. And I, you know, even people that, like even Monty says, like, I like Jason now and I want to work with him moving forward. It's like everyone recognized, like, I can't be overtly after Jason if I want to not make this so much harder for myself.
Okay. All right. Let's just talk through some of the latest happenings in the house. And Taryn, I know that there was a scandal from what I was reading on the updates a bit. And I'm curious to know how much of a thing is that. Well, I don't know what we're calling it yet, but is there a name for Justin getting naked?
I don't know if there is. I haven't seen it myself. I don't want to make any guesses.
I would call it Showergate, but in all due respect to Alec Beal, I'm not sure if that has already been taken.
Yeah. Basically what this is was, I guess Justin at some point had exposed himself to Morgan, and Monty got very up in arms about this. He was very, very pissed off. I want to punch him in the face.
Pissed.
And at one point Shelby was crying about it. Morgan didn't seem to care very much herself, but yeah. It was sort of a controversy with some other people.
Now, Alex, did you get to see this highlight yet?
No, I haven't really seen it. I don't know if it actually ended
was
up
on
feeds or if it was just discussed, because like from what I've been able to find, all it is, you know, like it wasn't actually on any of the four cameras. We've got Monty talking about it. We've got Monty telling people about it. We've got people reacting to Monty's story about it. Monty and Morgan seem to have been there, but no, I haven't seen any actual evidence of what. Yeah, I like Wienergate. At least it's it's alliteration to Watergate.
People have searched for it. They found some similar instances, but that none of them really match the description. And so it's still up in the air as to whether or not it actually happened on the feeds and it was just overblown, or it wasn't on the feeds, so we don't know what actually happened.
Yeah, so he basically went in the shower. He was going into the shower and then disrobed, and that Morgan was in the bathroom. Is this what we are led to believe?
Well, what made Monty mad was contextual, right? Because it was like, yeah, Justin is, you know, taking off his clothes and getting in the shower. And we know from watching this guy on the feeds that he is lazy when it comes to that stuff. Like, he shows his butt all the time when he's getting in the shower. Like, it's, I don't think there was anything malicious in it from his end, if I could like just hazard a guess there. But, you know, like, as he's doing it, he, like, grabs his junk and, like, says something to Monty. I forget. What did he say, Taryn?
I don't know what he said. Monty said he was, like, swinging it around.
Whoa,
like,
he wasn't doing that. But I think he may have said something about, like, you know, you can't get this or something like that as he was getting in the shower.
You can't get this.
Well, something to the effect of like how Monty isn't going to be able to like take him down in the game. Like, Monty is so threatened by Justin in the game, and he's made it so overtly obvious. And Justin is just playing with him, like, nonstop. Like, Justin thinks it's hysterical.
What?
And so he definitely said something, according to Monty, that really was like crossing a line. And yeah, as the story continued to get told, it got more and more elaborate. And then it became a point of like, Justin was like, yeah, running around and like sexually harassing people. And it's like, well, that couldn't have happened.
You know? Right. Right. All right. Well, again, I don't want to, cast any dispersions on what Morgan may or may not have been experiencing. So I guess the question for us in terms of people that evaluate the game is, where does this go from here? Because it sounds like that Monty and also Shelby also seem to be leading the charge for there to either be some sort of reaction from Alex in terms of a nomination, or from Big Brother in terms of taking action, Taryn.
Yeah, you know, they were talking, oh, America's going to hate this. They're totally going to nominate him now. But, you know, especially Monty was already after Justin anyway. So it really doesn't change anything in terms of that. The fans could care less. Like, they couldn't care less. They really don't care what Justin may or may not have done, because they love Justin and they hate Monty. So I really don't think it'll change much at all. It was just kind of like an overblown thing.
Yeah.
Counterpoint, though, I will say, like, the people who are bothered by it, like, I do understand, like, there is an element of the Big Brother house that's super weird, right? You've got like all these people living in confined quarters, male and female. And like, this is like a very much like a locker room kind of a moment, I feel like, where like Justin used to be a quarterback, Monty used to play football too. Like, this is the kind of thing that guys would do in a locker room, but it's like, this is not a locker room. And so I get that there's a little bit of like discomfort when it comes to these kinds of situations. And Justin is just such a carefree guy that he's not going to think about it like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, so it's tough.
Now, is Justin aware that this is a thing, Alex?
He's heard people talking about it, but I don't think he thinks, like, he's very dismissive of it. He doesn't, you know, he's not someone that's going to like get caught up on this kind of a thing anyway, but just, I mean, the fact that the certain people who are bothered by it, like, first of all, Shelby seems the most bothered by it, and she wasn't even there for it. She's just heard about it. And then Monty, like, he couldn't care less what Monty has to say.
So. Yeah. It is amazing that it seems like the people that are very upset about this are all the people that are not in the alliance with Justin.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Like, it's very,
how that works.
It's very political in terms of the people that are on his side that, like, don't seem to care about it, but the people who are not on his side are horrified to hear this story.
And then there does seem to be a see America, see how bad this is element to it. Like, really hoping this is like the thing that can get them over the hump with public appeal.
Right.
It's a little transparent.
Yes. Which I don't really care for. You know, if somebody's offended, be offended, but let's not try to, turn this into something to, you know, to really besmirch his character over this.
Honestly, I think it's something that we might start to see more of. I was just seeing right before we came onto this podcast that Danielle was talking about how Monty apparently was saying homophobic things last week that I don't think anybody saw him actually do. Obviously, that would have been like huge if he had. But she's using that as a strategy. She's trying to put that out there to besmirch his name. And I think we might see more of this because they're all aware that, or at least they've all theorized that a large reason that Cornbread was nominated was because of his comments towards, you know, Jewish people. So I think this might get a little dirty.
Here come the smear campaigns.
That's not fun. It's really not fun. And I, you know, we have so much of that in our real politics that Big Brother is supposed to be, I think that it, at its best, is a diversion from all of the things that kind of suck about our real life and our real world politics. So it's really unfortunate to see that sort of, you know, negative campaigning really spilling over into this. And I know I'm like, I don't want to make it sound like that never happens in Big Brother, but it would be ugly to have 10 weeks of that.
Yeah,
I would agree. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, important to remember this is a different game and people are recognizing they have to play it differently and they're trying to figure out how to do that.
Got
to
be careful. First ever OTT. All right. So then how did the House react to Chrissy winning the first care package, Karen?
I can tell you how Chrissy reacted.
Because oh God, no.
She was already under the assumption that America loves her because she didn't get an eviction vote.
Yeah.
And this is just, has put her over the top.
You really like me.
She is so sanctimonious and just like so full of herself right now. She's going around acting like she knows the game better than anyone. She's just so confident that like America believes in her and whatever she does is just golden. It's gonna get worse before it gets better, I think.
Yeah, I noticed that in the, you know, the full weekly recap show that it seemed like in her eviction speech, she's like, okay, you know, let's just honor America's wishes here. You know, you don't want to piss off America by getting rid of me. And it really did seem like she seemed to very much embrace that America really loves Chrissy.
Yeah, that was a ballsy move, huh?
Yeah.
Like maybe it worked in like, you know, scaring Cornbread, but you know, what did it accomplish beyond that other than making like all of us collectively roll our eyes?
Yeah. Okay. So other than Jason, that who are the other standouts as far as America is concerned? It sounds like Justin seemingly is one of them, Taryn.
Yeah. Creole kid.
Justin and Jason are, I think, by far the two guys that America is pulling for, that all the votes are coming in to support them and help them as much as possible.
Okay. What about the other people on the Misfits? Are there any other standouts here?
Vote wise, I don't think so. I think everybody really just cares about Jason and Justin, and they really couldn't care less about the rest of them, really.
Okay.
I've seen some Danielle and Neely fans out there.
Yeah, some. I would honestly say
it's a drop down, and then like the last tier is like Shane and Chrissy.
Yeah. Like I honestly think that the sisters probably, or at least Alex probably has more fans than people like Danielle and Neely at this point.
Yeah, let's take a second. I mean, she throws a hinky vote after everyone comes up to her HOH. She stops and talks to the cameras and like gives you a sense of like where her strategic mind is at. Like Alex is trying to give us what she thinks we want every bit of the way in terms of strategy. Unfortunately, she's aligned with people that are working against Jason. So she's got an uphill battle on her hands in a way other people don't.
Alex, how did the House react to the hinky vote?
You know, the assumption, and it was, you know, people still talk about it here and there, but the assumption was that America did it. I mean, that is the natural assumption, and that's why Alex did it. That's why it's not a terrible idea to cast it the way it would be in most Big Brother seasons, because there's a vote out there that nobody knows about. Mm-hmm. So, you know, she can do that and have some degree of plausible deniability. Danielle, you know, some people don't think it makes sense that America would cast a vote for Danielle, and they're kind of right. But Danielle just kind of seemed to accept it like, oh, I don't know what I did, but okay.
Yeah.
So yeah, they just kind of move forward with that.
Just checking in with the Joker's update poll. Predictably, Jason is at number one and Justin is at two, with Alex right there behind at three, which is interesting. I do think that speaks to the power of the cam talking, Taryn. I feel like that was something that Paul did very well last summer, that the live feeders like it when you talk to them, right?
Yeah, definitely. And especially when it's coupled with, you know, her conversations last night were about how she wants to work with Jason moving forward. She had a great talk with Jason and, you know, talked about how they want to sort of like be, you know, they're on opposing sides, but they want to kind of secretly work together and help each other out. And after he left, she was like, man, I can really see myself working with Jason. I really think that this could work. And she talked about it with her sister, with Morgan, and they both agreed like, yeah, we should probably try to move forward with Jason. So I think that's definitely also a big part of what's giving her a boost at the moment.
So then all the way down at the bottom, Monty is in 12th place. Cornbread is the defunct Cornbread is in 13th place. But interestingly, Scott is at 11th place. Alex, why is the internet and specifically Jokers so sour on Scott?
Because we know that, you know, fans, the large majority of fans, and, you know, it does isn't even necessarily casual fans, hate floaters and people that play both sides of the house, even if it's a game that can be done effectively. I mean, people hated Andy, even if Andy was playing a good game. People really have, you know, called this game weak and spineless. And like, this is a common sentiment. So Scott, even though he's doing it sloppily, to me, he's much more Ronnie than Andy. It's still not popular. And I think Scott is at least given credit enough to say he has the self-awareness enough to know that he's a likely candidate for America's nominee this week. And he's like trying to plan accordingly.
And Alex, is Scott a good player?
He's got good knowledge of the game. He's got good ideas in general. I think that when it comes to the social game, it's kind of like what you and Aris talked about on your Survivor podcast this week, where, you know, you
cross
need
promotion.
Yeah, there you go. You need, like you can know all the right things to do, but if you don't have the social pull to make things happen, then what good is it? You know? And I don't think Scott, he's not bad at establishing social relationships, but he thinks he's better with almost everyone than he actually is. They see him running around and talking to everyone and it's, you know, gradually wearing thin on both sides. So he's not going to be able to keep it up for long before people are just ready to, you know, pull a Ronnie, like have a big house meeting and call him the rat of the house, you know?
Okay. Again, I want to get to your questions here in a little bit. Hashtag RHAP to get your questions into the show. All right. So the showmance of Shane and Danielle, Taryn, how real of a showmance is that on a scale of James and Natalie to Jeff and Jordan?
Right now, it's definitely more on the James and Natalie side of things. They haven't really done much, I guess. They haven't consummated the showmance to any real extent. He did give her a lap dance, which, I mean,
right.
But like Paulie and Cody have given lap dances too, and that doesn't necessarily mean anything.
I give anybody a lap dance. I just gave one to Frankie Grande. And it's on Snapchat.
Man, he's so good at PR, that Paulie.
Oh, man. Did you guys see like Zakiya post like almost softcore porn on Twitter?
What was her Twitter? Her Twitter handle?
What was that, please?
What is it?
Yeah, no, it was Zakiya. It was it was like a black and white shot, like someone comes in a room and like Zakiya straddling Paulie in like the corner by the bay window, and they're like,
love you, babe.
Both in. And she's in lingerie and he's just in his underwear. Like, it was very weird. It looked like some kind of Calvin Klein commercial.
So this is Zakiya Everett at Zakiya Everett. Is that right?
I think that's right.
I don't know if they have the right one. This one. We'll see. Okay. That's another. Somebody. Let me. We'll have to do a full forensics on that to see what's going on there for the cinematography. Okay. All right. That's interesting. That's interesting. Look, I got Frankie Grande. I got my brother Cody. I don't need support from the fans. Okay. That's all I need.
Primal Instinct in the chat was saying it was a photo shoot. So
photo shoot. Oh, a photo shoot with Frankie Grande.
No, like a professional, you know, Zakiya and Paulie, you know, get them, you know, duo headshots.
Yeah, but in all seriousness, who is asking for that?
Paulie.
But why?
So you can sell them for $60.
But why? Who's buying them? Like, I don't know. Like, I legitimately don't
understand. $60 to me.
Like, I don't understand.
Rob? You're just a hater, okay? You don't understand. I just have to rise above people like you. Look, don't understand where I come from.
I told you I'm moving my business, okay? my selling photos business. Okay.
I got offshore accounts.
Who even are you?
Yeah. That's right. All right. All right. Sorry. Don't get me distracted.
I like to diversify.
Yeah. I'm diversifying my portfolio. Okay. All right. Let's go to a question here. And here we go. Let's bring up our first question. And this is a meme, okay, that Scott has. So vote Morgan as America's nominee. Here's why. Vote for have-nots.
Blah, blah,
Monty,
blah, blah, blah.
Whitney, and Morgan. Top three vote-getters are have-nots. You get 20 votes a day. And then there's like a whole pamphlet. Alex, are people going and knocking door to door and trying to get out the vote?
Yeah, Cornbread's witnesses. Have you accepted Cornbread into your life today?
Yes. Yes. Taryn, who's going to be able to have the turnout this fall? Is it going to be the Plastics or the Misfits? Who's getting more Big Brother casuals registered right now?
Oh, it's the Misfits. But the thing is about this one in particular, this meme, this image is that they made it like Wednesday night or something. It's already like way outdated. At this point, Morgan and Alex, like I said, are wanting to work with Jason, and you know, voting to nominate Morgan would be hugely detrimental to Jason's game. Monty is pushing for Jason to go up on the block like crazy at this point. But this is still circulating around, and we could see again, just like the first idea being the one that gets implemented. And then, you know, people are all of a sudden voting against their own interests. And if their interests are to help Jason in this instance.
Hey, we're millennials, Rob. We like direction. If someone's putting direction out there, like, hey, you
one
go
direction.
Do this thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Alex,
one direction.
Yeah. Is there a problem, though, in the corrupt mainstream Big Brother medium with giving some coverage for the Plastics?
Yeah, that's probably fair. You know, like nobody. But then again, this isn't, you know, this isn't real politics. Nobody promised equal coverage to, you know, both platforms here. That was never in the agreement.
Okay. All right, let's go to a question. Edmo, should America vote Jason as a have not? Biscuit, do you like this idea to really throw the people in the house off the scent of like, boy, I guess Jason must have pissed off America somewhere along the way. Now he's a have not. Let's keep him.
At this point in the game, probably not, because being America's favorite, I think at the moment is helping him. People are playing scared. I think down the road, they're going to start to get a little more bold and they're going to say, look, I can't let Jason get further in the game. That's the point where you probably want to say, okay, we need to convince them that we don't like Jason anymore, or they're going to take him out because he's too well-liked.
Yeah. It's don't play these games, really, because you don't know. And we talked about this the other day, I feel like, that you don't know how they're going to react, where it's like, oh, okay, America hates Jason. Quick, let's make our move. You can't predict what these idiots in the house, how they're going to interpret the news. So you can go ahead and try stuff like this, but just have fun. Just do what you want. I don't think that these things are going to ultimately be able to, like, you're going to be able to game the system, Alex. What do you think?
No, I agree. I think we've seen time and again that with twists, more often than not, their interpretation is wrong. And I think, again, it's like, you know, an experiment when you like, you know, if you are trying to get like a mouse through a maze and you like, you know, flick it or something for going the wrong way, it doesn't mean it's going to like all of a sudden know the right path. It's might maybe take a different wrong way. You know, same thing.
Okay. Yeah, like people were convinced that Chrissy was going to immediately save Jason when she was given the care package. And that's largely why they voted for her. But she said that her first instinct was to give it to Shane, which would have put Justin or Jason in a lot of danger. So,
yeah.
Like, you got to be careful.
It's like changing the space-time continuum. You change one thing, you think you're going to and the whole thing gets thrown completely different. You don't want to do that.
Yeah, and then Jason from the future walks through the door and
don't nominate
Justin this week. Trust me.
Listen, you hookers. Trust me. It didn't work out that way 20 years ago.
Okay. All right.
This was my shot.
All right. Joseph Boza says, now that Alex is HOH, should Monty be worried about his safety in the house since he put up Jason last week? All right. So should Monty, does Monty have a lot to be worried about, Taryn, in terms of America's vote?
Oh, yeah. He has a lot to be worried about.
Only perennially.
Yeah.
he's probably going to get nominated at this point. It seems like a lot of votes are going his way. And if he does get nominated, America probably has the votes to send him out. Neely is the person who is the only person who might vote to keep Monty at this point. But that's not a given because all of her allies are going to be saying, no, don't keep Monty. We need Monty out. We need to protect Shane and Danielle. And if that happens, she's probably going to be torn. But I think she ultimately sides with the rest of her alliance. It's hard to see her going completely rogue, in which case Monty probably goes home here, even though Alex is HOH.
Okay, so Shane, Danielle, Monty potentially is all sitting up on the block on Thursday. So that's three people that can't vote, but America gets a vote. You got to figure America is going to put a vote on Monty. So he can't vote. The HOH can't vote. So basically, the only people that are voting here are Morgan, Shelby, Whitney, Scott, potentially, if he's voting with them. And then Jason, Justin, Chrissy, Neely, and that's it. So what is it going to take? Like four votes to evict or with this three vote thing, it's all wonky.
It's okay. So
there's eight votes and then America's vote, right?
Right.
So five to evict, counting America.
Yeah. Right. Well, unless votes get split.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think, you know, the thing is, if you've got Danielle and Shane up there and then Monty joins them, it becomes like a vote between the showmance and Monty. So, you know, you'd have to think like one member of the showmance wouldn't catch anything. And then it becomes a battle at that point. Yeah, which probably, you know, the way the cornbread thing went, it looked like it was close up until the last day. And then, you know, the people who had tried to turn it on Danielle, the plastics, and, you know, they basically gave in when they realized the numbers weren't there. And then all the votes went the other way. So I think that's, you know, something we could definitely see.
Yeah. Let me just check in with you guys. Big picture. Taryn, you still down with OTT?
I'm still liking the cast. I'm still liking a lot of their strategy. The more the voting happens, like even just within the community, you know, I did have a lot of fun with pushing the Monty for the America Care Package thing, but it's getting really aggressive. Like the community is really divided and it's getting really nasty even in the community with the voting. And what's happening in the game is that, you know, people are becoming more and more scared as more America votes come in and they're playing more and more conservatively. And this is what I was worried about with the America votes stuff. And I feel like it's starting to turn. I was really loving it. I'm still liking it, but I'm afraid of its direction at the moment.
America, you're drunk with power.
Yes. America has the HOH-itis.
Really, like, really.
They're like King Joffrey right now, and they're only going to Ramsay up from here.
Dance for me, house guests.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Alex, so are you still down with OTT?
Yeah, I'm enjoying it. You know, I think, you know, the important thing was coming in with the right frame of mind. Like I just told myself, this is going to be a different game. It's really, I don't think either me or Taryn are going to find a way to put like the winner of this season ultimately into our Big Brother rankings. I think this is the kind of season that is so drastically different that you almost have to consider it. You know, it's Big Brother in name, but maybe in name only. This is kind of a new game that it's over the top, and that's what I'm considering it as. So under that frame, I'm okay.
But in comparison to BB18, where I feel like the whole way through that probably lukewarm at best was probably the best way to describe the feelings for BB18. In comparison, are you enjoying this more or less, Alex?
It's hard to say. I guess less because BB18 is still true Big Brother and I prefer that. But at the end of the day, the twists there were really unfocused. And at least this, you know, they've laid out what they're going to do from the beginning and it seems like it's going to be the same throughout. So unlike the team twist that died quickly, unlike the care packages that were like, you know, just kind of thrown into the middle of the game, at least this seems to have, I like a game, whatever the game is, I like a game that has like a set of rules and like guidelines that you have to operate within, like, you know, structure. That's good.
Yeah. Taryn, I had thought that I feel like that the audience of this show is going to embrace and really love BBOT more so than a previous season, because that the idea where you get to vote for your favorites, where they feel like that if we take the casual vote out of it, the internet is going to have such a big say in what happens, that as things go down the stretch where we get to the inevitable point in any Big Brother season where it's like, oh, my favorite is out of the house, or why are these people in power? I do feel like that the audience is going to be even more engaged with this idea that they're going to be able to be controlling the outcome down the stretch, Taryn.
Yeah, I see the logic in that, but at the same time, it's not like the internet has one opinion. I've seen a lot of splits even just in this beginning part of the season. And I think what happens is if you're on the wrong side of the votes and you have a favorite that the rest of the, you know, at least a somewhat majority of other people don't like, then you're going to feel really disenfranchised. You're going to feel like there's nothing I can do. And all these votes are just going to continually wipe out the people I like, or just continually wipe out the people on the other side. And that's going to make for boring television. So I don't think it's really having the effect that maybe they wanted it to, or maybe we wanted it to. And like I said, this voting stuff, it's mostly a lot of people fighting each other about like, no, this is right. And this is right. And I don't know. It definitely could, you know, if somebody, you know, if somebody like Justin, right, who is probably our beacon of hope at this point, like if everybody can rally behind Justin and everyone loves, just like, let's
not
just carry him to the end.
Yes.
Not, yeah.
Careful.
Maybe that is a good outcome, but it's hard to see a totally like everybody happy with an outcome here.
Okay. So yeah. Do you feel like that there will be people who will not recognize the winner of this whole thing, Taryn?
I won't recognize the winner. I mean, like, not as a winner of Big Brother. Like, this is, like Alex said, this is an entirely different game. I could never even start to compare somebody's game in this season to a normal season.
Will you or will you not stand by the outcome of the vote?
I mean, I'll stand behind. I like the winner of this season will probably be the best Big Brother OTT player of all time. So...
Okay.
I'll give him that.
But I think there's an argument to be made. Like when you look at someone like Shane, who's super safe, and then you look at someone like Alex, who's really trying to play the game and is maybe getting screwed for it. It's like, is it more valuable? And, you know, Alex is attractive, but you begin to wonder, like, is attractiveness more valuable than all the strategic knowledge in the world in a game like this? You know what I mean? Like, there's just certain questions that now come into play that I'm uncomfortable weighing upon.
Okay. All right. Let's go ahead and get to another question. And this is one from Brock Tree. Can we talk about why Taryn tried to get people to vote for Monty for the first America's Care Package? All right. You touched on this earlier, Taryn. During Big Brother 18, you also tried to get America to vote for Corey for a care package at one point. So that... Right? Do I have that wrong? I feel like there was one week where you were saying like, what needs to happen is that Corey needs to win the care package this week.
The mad scientist.
Maybe like the co-HOH. I'm not sure. I don't remember it, but it seems like something I would do, I guess.
Are you worried about there being a backlash against you first over the anti-friends take that you had last week and now trying to get unpopular contestants to win prizes in the Big Brother house?
Well, really, it was to set him up for failure. I mean, I wasn't like actually trying to help him or anything. I felt like we had a lot of traction there. You know, Netta retweeted me saying she loved the plan. You get Netta on board. I mean, who can hate Netta? So I don't know. Like I said, I had a lot of fun with it and, I felt like it was a fun idea, you know, wasn't just like a normal, like boring Chrissy not thing. So, I don't know. I tried and it was fun, but that was, I mean, like, again, I think it's something that would have helped Jason and Justin. I think it's something that would have been funny to watch Monty think that he's loved and then have a total turnaround. But you know, it didn't work. So. That's the way it goes.
Would it help you if we had somebody out there out in Rob Has a Planet who would make up a meme with your crazy ideas in the future to really get the ball rolling?
That would definitely help. Let's get the campaign rolling for the next vote, and we
if
can.
If somebody
we can
wants
see
to be
kind of
Taryn's personal meme maker for BBOTT, to go ahead and help him really get this movement off the ground. So send us an email, bigbrother@robisawebsite.com.
Okay, the P Diddy of this vote.
Yes,
OTT or die.
Ashley Bedazzle says, do you think that America's votes are going to result in this game being a very one-sided game for the next 9 weeks? I've seen that also where in our own patron Big Brother group, Alex, I saw the thought today that are Justin and Jason just going to steamroll this entire game? And is it going to be sort of a pagonging in a not fun way that the people that America has picked as its favorites early on are just going to have a sort of, you know, a path to daylight here and never let up?
Not impossible. I do feel like it's not going to be that clear cut. I mean, people, you know, as the game goes on, people are going to want to see deviation. They're going to want to see things shake up. The people, you know, just because Justin and Jason stay popular doesn't necessarily mean they're going to keep, you know, that the people that they're working with are going to stay popular once, you know, the Montes and some other people maybe are gone. So you might see, you know, them realign at some point and then see those people become popular as well. So I'm not ready to say it's quite that clear cut, but I do think it's an uphill battle for anyone that's not Justin and Jason right now, because, you know, Jason came in loved and Justin not only is clearly charismatic and likable, but he's Jason's number one ally. So anyone else has a tough road to beat these guys.
Yeah. Taryn, what would you do if you were somebody in the house who would you try to work with the popular people, or would you be trying to figure out a way to depopularize the popular people? Like, how would you approach this?
I think that what you have to try to do is work with them. I mean, you have to work with them in some capacity and never say anything negative about them.
Right. You can't out Jason.
Exactly. Like you're not gonna beat him in popularity unless you're somebody like Justin and you do it accidentally. So you have to just, you know, hope that somebody else is dumb enough to take them out for you without you telling them to, because you can't be seen as being aggressive toward them or you will probably get nominated.
Because out of all the possible formats, that Jason was probably more popular with the live feed audience of Big Brother than the actual TV casual audience. Because I remember even watching the feeds in Big Brother 17, and he was always fun to listen to on, you know, on the live feeds. And I'm sure that he still is, even though I haven't watched a lot of BBOTT live feeds. So, I mean, this is really him, you know, preaching to the choir, Alex.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think that's definitely, you know, his game is a lot of, you know, hanging on that outside couch, smoking and, you know, talking some smack, which is really fun and entertaining when you're watching the feeds. But he's not actually doing anything. And so is that going to make this show? No. So as a result, no, he didn't get the kind of edit as someone who was, you know, really playing. And I think he was, you know, he's up there in the fan favorite voting. So the casual audience definitely did, you know, respond to him. But it wasn't quite to the degree that the live feeders did, for sure. Okay.
All right, let's do a couple more questions. This is from Sarah, who says, how do you feel about Danielle's gameplay so far? I'm impressed, but worried she will play too hard, too fast. Taryn, do you think that Danielle is the more likely person to survive if either Shane or Danielle goes home this week?
She's probably the most likely to leave. And I honestly think she's already played too hard. I think she would have probably gone last week if it weren't for heavy, heavy involvement from the fans. And she will probably go this week again, if not for the heavy, heavy involvement of the fans. And it's not even that people like her. It's just that people dislike other people more. So it's not even like we can credit her too much for being like super popular, because as far as I can tell, she isn't.
Yes. Okay. All right. Let's do one or two more questions. Trent Williams says, is the story Danielle telling about what Monty said about Jason true, or is she just trying to put a bigger target on Monty? All right. So Alex, is this some of the same stuff that we're talking about, or is there a different story that Danielle is telling about what Monty said about Jason?
I think she's just referring to like him having made some potentially like homophobic comments, which we referenced earlier.
Which again, were not on the feeds.
Right, that apparently happened last week, and I don't remember Monty saying. I mean, Monty talks a lot. Monty is arrogant. Monty is an idiot. Like, there's lots of things we can call Monty. If we want to disparage Monty, I mean, there's a clip you can find that somebody put on Reddit that's amazing from when Alex gets her HOH room, and they're up there and everyone's talking, and Monty says something about the fish like 8 times in a row. Like, there's the yellow fish. Like, he just has to be heard. He's one of these guys that just thinks he's the most important person in any room he's in, and it's almost insufferable. But I don't think, like, he's like still like kind of the good Christian boy in a sense. He's in love with himself, but I'd be surprised if he had made some of the comments she's saying.
Yeah. Last week, all he ever said about Jason was, I love Jason. I think he's a really great guy. He's really funny. I really don't want to have to do this to him, but he's a big threat and I'm an idiot. Laser sights on him. I would find it incredibly unlikely that he said anything near these kinds of things about Jason.
Okay. All right. We'll see. And then finally, Sarah wants to know, did Alex cheat at the HOH competition? Discuss, Alex, did you cheat in the HOH competition?
Well, I always do.
Yes.
But I don't think she did. I mean, the argument is that you were supposed to, it was at the point of the competition where Big Brother said, okay, you can only use one hand. And it was really cold out there. Like, they were all shivering. She's got her other hand in her hoodie, front hoodie pocket. And some people are speculating if, like, through there, she was like resting the lance on that hand. Big Brother told her to, stop it after not much time. And, one way or another, like, some of the house guests on Jason's side have been complaining about it, which has fueled the fire of the people online complaining about it. But if it was really egregious, Big Brother would have called her on it. I don't think this was something that went on for long. And I don't think there was something that majorly impacted anything.
Taryn, should the rest of Big Brother OTT be played under protest?
Under protest of Alex cheating?
Yes.
No, Alex did not cheat. If she had cheated, she would have been called out.
Hold on, you're biased. You said you love her the other day. Alex Kidwell?
Also,
this was no Milkman Amit situation. Okay. Yeah, definitely was not.
Like, James does not cheat when he crouches on the wall. Like, if she was cheating, they would have called her on it. They have way more camera angles than we do, and they are much more interested in calling out people for breaking the rules than even we are. So, if she was cheating, she wouldn't have won. It's that simple.
All right. Well, we will see. All right. So let's preview the BBOTT weekend, Taryn. So what do we have coming up over the next couple of days, the next 48 hours until you guys are back with the happy hour on Sunday night?
We will see who Chrissy decides to save. And I do believe that's probably going to be Jason, even though
if she knows
Shane
what's good for her.
You're right. Shane and Danielle are pushing her really hard to save one of them, but I still think it'll be Jason. I mean, what a disaster it would be if she saved one of them. We might see Justin go home. So we'll see that. We'll see the have not reveal. I'm sure people are going to be very annoyed and depressed about that. And we'll see some safety ceremonies.
People in
we'll
the house
see-
or people on the internet?
In the house.
In the house. I think people on the internet are going to be happy.
Because they found out today that have-nots are even happening. Monty yesterday said something about how, like, maybe, I guess there won't be have-nots this season, And we would be too weak for competition, so yeah, they won't do it to us.
Is there a have-not room, next Alex? Day.
There is. It has been locked this entire time, but we have glimpsed it. It's Halloweenish, and the beds are trampolines that look like cobwebs.
Oh! Okay.
Pretty tacky. Delightfully tacky.
Yes. Like Hooters? Yeah. Okay.
Exactly.
All right. There you go.
We'll also see some more live diary rooms tonight, which is great because those have been really good.
Yeah. You like those?
Very illuminating.
Yes. All right. So this is fun. I do think that the BBOTT experience that, and this is my sense of it, that I do feel like that for the hardcore Big Brother people, I feel like that everybody is enjoying this. It's something different. They get to really flex their muscle on this. I feel like that the casual Big Brother person is a little bit of sort of like giving a Gen X or Snapchat, like, wait, what do I do? I don't know. Where's the thing? What am I supposed to be looking at right now? And I think that they don't know where to go and they don't really know what to do. And other than that, hour long recap episode, I feel like that the casual person who has come over to BBOTT into All Access is still rather confused, Alex.
Yep. Yep. Fair point. And they are probably right to be so. I mean, you've kind of track down the schedule and, make it correlate with your window for when you have availability to watch this stuff. But then again, I mean, it's important to remember, like, the live feeds do have the flashbacks option and the highlights. So you can, you know, quickly, you know, when you go over to live feeds, you can like go to that highlights tab, and most of the good stuff is there kind of queued up to some extent. So.
Mm-hmm. I feel like there's almost too many highlights. I feel like that there should be maybe like two or three highlights a day. I mean, there's like 12 highlights. I don't know what's actually.
Yeah. Or you gotta pick your battles. They give you a little description. Pick what sounds interesting to you. You know,
how about a star rating? Could I get like Amazon.com type star ratings? I'm like, oh, this highlight has 4.5 stars. Let me check.
Oh,
that'd
be awesome. And then right, like if you click on it, it's like, okay, you like the clip of Cornbread telling everyone to F themselves. You would also like this clip of you know. Everyone Want Cake from Big Brother 10.
And we can get reviews also, the most helpful reviews of this clip also.
Yes.
Perfect. All right. Good stuff. All right. Taryn, should we go with Alex's hashtag of Cornbread's Witnesses?
Yes, definitely.
Okay. All right. Good stuff. All very exciting. Of course, the link for tickets for our live show is, again, robiswebsite.com/BBOTT. Live. If you ever want to try out the Big Brother live feeds, you can do so with our link, robiswebsite.com/BBOTT. Lots of fun stuff coming up over the weekend as well. We are going to have another edition of the Big Brother Happy Hour with Jordan Parhar coming up on Sunday night. Plus, I'll also have a SNL recap of this week's Saturday Night Live, which is I do over on postshowrecaps.com. Plus, plenty of Survivor to check out as well with Aris, voicemails with Haley Strong, the know-it-alls, the exit interview, plenty of stuff there as well. And then on Tuesday, I'll be back again for more BBOTT coming up here on Rob Has a Podcast. So go ahead and subscribe to the podcast, robhasawebsite.com/iTunes. Have a great weekend, everybody. We'll talk to you again soon. Take care.